This is John chapter 4, verse 46 to 54 in Chinese. 耶稣又到了加利利的迦拿，就是他从前变水为酒的地方。有一个大臣，他的儿子在加百农患病。他听见耶稣从犹太到了加利利，就来见他，求他下去医治他的儿子，因为他儿子快要死了。耶稣就对他说：“若不看见神迹奇事，你们总是不信。” 那大臣说：“先生，求你趁我的儿子还没有死，就下去。”耶稣对他说：“回去，你的儿子活了。”那人信耶稣所说的话，就回去了。正下去的时候，他的仆人迎见他说：“他的儿子活了。”他就问：“什么时候见好的？”他们说：“昨天未时，热就退了。”他便知道这正是耶稣对他说。 你儿子活了的时候，他自己和全家就都信了，就是耶稣在加利利行的第二件神迹，是他从犹太回去之后行的。
Mazadine do Yeshu legdo su kana bakhado kalila do phe amaketho spiti ni lo do pedotra pho khwa ma deke ba olak perdon lo awedana hu la Yeshu lele ko kalila do lesu o do khiknya o ditu ak hello ma blaki pho khwa lo Awedi e Kathitelo, Mada Dinedo, Yishu Siba on Thumeha Tiba Tap non Lola, Dota Lotu Lola, Do Tutanaba, Do Pedo Siba on Kasao, La Poport Clippi di Bado. Lelo tatki, Yesu siba o, gege tke, nupo kwa muwelo, do watagane, nata katula, Yesu siba o do kikiwelo, do kilo, a permu do, a ke a pwa hezro o, do teba o, do siweda, nupo muwelo, mata dine do tikwa o, Le nari le akunya to to welo do siba o ma mata di le nari ne atakunya kla kiwelo mata di ne do apati nyala menari pe Yesu siba o nupu kwamu welo do aweda suke na kido apwa hipo kopo apwa hipo do hinyalo yesu helala ko yudasu kalila do mata lola temi e me kedo kimit minelo
vino pues Jesús otra vez a Caná de Galilea donde había convertido el agua en vino y había en Capernaum un oficial del rey cuyo hijo estaba enfermo. Este, cuando oyó que Jesús había llegado de Judea a Galilea, vino a él y le rogó que descendiese a sanarse a su hijo, que estaba a punto de morir. Entonces Jesús le dijo, «Si no viereis señales y prodigios, no creeréis». El oficial del rey le dijo, «Señor, desciende antes que mi hijo muera». Jesús le dijo, «Ve, tu hijo vive». Y el hombre creyó la palabra que Jesús le dijo y se fue. Cuando ya él descendía, sus siervos salieron a recibirle y le dieron nuevas diciendo, «Tu hijo vive». Entonces él les preguntó, «¿A qué hora había comenzado a estar mejor?». Y le dijeron, «Ayer a las 7 le dejó la fiebre». El padre entonces entendió que aquella era la hora en que Jesús le había dicho, «Tu hijo vive». Y creyó él con toda su casa. Esta segunda señal hizo Jesús cuando fue de Judea a Galilea.
Then he came again to Cana in Galilee. That was where he had changed water into wine. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. And when Jesus heard, or excuse me, when he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and he begged him to come and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. And then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And the official said to him, "But sir, come down before my little boy dies." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started on his way. And as he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them the hour when he began to recover. And they said to him, "Yesterday, at about 1 PM, his fever left him." And the father realized that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. We have heard the word of God for the people of God in some of the languages of the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm grateful to each of you who are readers. Thank you for helping with that. And I'm so grateful to be part of a church that recognizes the expanse of God and how when we gather with people from different backgrounds, we see more of God's glory and wonder. Thank you all for being here this morning. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, when I get the privilege of standing here and seeing this gathering of people, I'm so grateful. And I pray your blessing on all who are here. I pray now that this time where I'm speaking, this would be a time where we are engaged with your word, with your story. And I pray that your story and our story would meet and become one story, and that we would walk with Christ in the Word and in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Desire. I wonder what that word brings to your mind. If you go online for a dictionary search, you'll find that desire is something one absolutely must have, or on dictionary.com, a strong feeling of wanting something very badly. Synonyms are craving, longing, and yearning. Now, this can go in a lot of directions. I'm craving the things on the dessert table in the back. I think about the year 2006 when my grandfather died. I'm longing to be on a golf course with him again, or just to be at my grandparents' house and to hear that lovable growl as he putters around the house and tries to fix things that never get fixed. That growl that I was a little bit afraid of when I was a kid and now would love to hear again. I'm longing for that. I'm thankful to God for my life. I have a wonderful family. I have the best job in the world. And yet sometimes I yearn for something more. Craving, longing, yearning, all ways of understanding desire. The way I'm thinking about it this morning is wanting something very, very badly. We meet what's described as a royal official in John chapter 4, verse 46. The notes in the Oxford Annotated English Bible say that this was a Gentile military officer, a Roman, probably stationed by the emperor in Israel. And he was stationed in the city of Capernaum. Capernaum sat right on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. But this official, though he was stationed in Capernaum, met Jesus in the city of Cana. Cana is where Jesus worked his first miracle when he was at a wedding. And this is earlier in John's gospel. And the party looks like it's going to run out because the libations have run out. And Jesus keeps the party going. That's his first miracle in John's gospel, by turning water into wine. So that's in the city of Cana. Jesus has traveled a bit. Now here in chapter 4, he's back in Cana. And the royal official, the Roman military officer, makes the journey from Capernaum to Cana to meet Jesus. It's about the distance from here to RDU, Raleigh-Durham International Airport. Except that in the first century, you would cover that distance walking or by mule. So he walked that 15 or so miles, whatever that mileage is, about 15 miles, to meet Jesus because he desired something deeply. His son was ill. He's a Roman military officer. He could afford the best doctors around, and the best doctors around could not help. Roman authorities, for the most part, looked down on Jews as a conquered people. They looked at them with condescension. They looked on everyone that way. The Romans were the mighty Romans, the Roman Empire. They were the holders of the power. And yet this mighty Roman officer comes to Jesus begging. We come to that point in our lives. I haven't yet met someone who hasn't reached this point where there's just something we desire and there's no way to get it. And we know that. So we beg God to deliver. Now, I don't think he knew that Jesus was God, but the words about the miracles Jesus was working, the things that Jesus was doing in Nazareth, Cana, Capernaum, Jesus' talk had spread throughout the region. Everybody was talking about Jesus, and so he knew, and so he came. The futility of desire led to desperation. He was on the verge of despair. This man of power was on his knees before a peasant carpenter who had turned teacher-preacher, begging for a miracle. He prostrated himself before a religious man of a religion he didn't even practice. What dreams do we have that become all-consuming desires? When have you been at that point of desperation or despair? I hope all is well with you. I find myself writing that in emails or cards or letters that I send to people I haven't seen in a long time. My desire, what I really, really want when I think about people I love is that all would be well in their lives. I hope that my friends and my family and the people that I know are in careers that are fulfilling, and are in relationships that are life-giving. This week has been a hard week for me. One of my best friends died. His name's Kevin. He was 39. Those of you who are part of the English congregation here will remember that I went to his wedding a month ago. Missed a Sunday, went up to Northern Virginia, where I used to be a pastor, and went to Kevin and Jackie's wedding. 39 years old, he had been married 1 month and 6 days. He had been a senior pastor for just a year. He had spent many years doing youth ministry and college ministry and served different churches in the Northern Virginia area. But this was his first senior pastorate. He was just starting out in that role and as a married man. Last Sunday evening, he and his new wife, Jackie, posted pictures on Facebook of them going out to cut out that first Christmas tree as a married couple. And they got it all decorated and had it up last Sunday. Over the last month, their Facebook page has been a flurry of wonderfully happy photos, wedding pictures, honeymoon photos, pictures of them in the house together. The Christmas tree pictures were posted Sunday night. Monday morning, Kevin went to do something he's been doing all his life. He went to lift weights. He was a beast. Kev was a big, strong guy. And so he was lifting weights, and he collapsed and never got up. So I thought about it, and I looked at the pictures, and I wondered how many years will it be before Jackie can enjoy hanging ornaments on a Christmas tree again. Jesus with one who is desperate, this desperate Roman military officer shaking before him, hoping against hope. And at first, it seems like Jesus and this desperate man talk past each other. Please, miracle worker, heal my son. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Signs and wonders? I don't care about signs and wonders or what you say believing is. Come down before my little boy dies. When Jesus said what he said, unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe, I don't think he was talking to the shaking man before him. His words came in response to the man's plea, but I think he was actually speaking to the crowd. Jesus was always with many people around, and what he spoke was at many levels. To the person, but also to those listening in, he's speaking to future generations who would live this story through reading John chapter 4. Come down before my little boy dies. Finally, Jesus looks at the man and says, go, your son will live. And the man believed Jesus, turned around, and started the 15-mile trek back to Capernaum. He had to stop for the night. He couldn't make the walk that day. And he picked the journey up the next day. Now, everyone in his household, and households of wealthy people, were extended communities. There were neighbors, there were household servants, family, extended family. They all knew why he had taken that long walk from Capernaum to Cana. So he's on the way back, and here comes a servant, smiling, weeping with joy, greeting him on his return. Breathless, he says, your son is well. He's recovering from the illness. He's going to be fine. And the man says, when did the healing begin? Yesterday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And he knew that was when Jesus said, go, your son will live. And John writes, so he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now, this is the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. Do we dare believe that hope is real? Do we dare hold the hope that we sing about in Christmas songs, the hope that we promise to others? When we tell people who haven't been in church in a while or ever that they can have hope in Christ, do we dare hold this hope? When Jesus initially responds to the... When Jesus initially responds to the man, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, the way I read that, his voice sounds annoyed. It's as if Jesus is fed up with people asking for proof. Come on, show me that you're God. And yet, at the end of the story, the narrator tells us this is the second sign that he's given. And we know when we read John's gospel, there are going to be seven signs. Jesus tolerated the need for signs because he could see how frail our faith is, even as he could see how much we need faith. He commented on the weakness of faith in people. And then the man made a decision. Jesus told him the boy would be fine, and he believed. At least he believed in the sense that he accepted what Jesus said and turned around and started making that long walk back to Capernaum. As he trudged those 15 miles, was he scared out of his mind? Did he walk along just desperately repeating, God, please let his words be true. God, please let his words be true. God, please let his words be true. This man goes through a process in this whole story. He goes through movement from desire that drives him to take this long walk, hoping against hope. All the while, that desire is conflicted with despair, thinking that the desire will never be reached. And then he makes a decision. He decides to do what Jesus says. And in that decision to walk back, John writes, he believed. His belief came in the decision to obey Jesus and accept his word. Later on in the story, the servant meets him and tells him he's been healed, he's going to be well. And in verse 53, John again writes, he believed. Only this belief was different. The second time that he writes it, this belief is of a man who has seen God act. The first instance was the belief of a man who hoped God's word could be trusted. The second belief is the belief of one who has seen and knows he can count on God. Well, I mentioned my friend Kevin, who died a month after marrying Jackie. Jackie has to go on with life. She has more Christmas trees to decorate. And it may be years before she has the strength to do it. Healing takes time. But there's something that happened in Jackie's life before she met Kevin. Before she met Kevin, she was sitting in church, worshiping on a Sunday morning during Advent. She heard the stories of Scripture read about God come to earth, the baby in the manger. She sat and listened to some pastor tell her about Jesus, that baby grown up, Jesus dying on the cross for her sins. She has been in church on Easter Sunday, worshiping with great joy the resurrected Lord. Just as the Roman military officer decided to believe Jesus before he started on the long walk to Capernaum, not knowing, Jackie long ago decided to believe Jesus is the Savior. She put her trust and hope in him. Well, now she's on the long walk. Now she discovers whether the decision to believe will be confirmed by the presence of God in her life. The story of the boy healed in John chapter 4 is no help to her. Not right now. It's a good story. When I say story, I think it happened. I don't mean it's just a story. But I mean it's a story in which we meet Jesus and see the power of God. But today, it's not any help to her. I've heard people this week say Kevin is singing with the angels. Kevin is resting, waiting for God. Or Kevin is with God. Those are all true things. Kevin has resurrection ahead of him. Jackie has resurrection ahead of her. I have resurrection ahead of me. These are things in which we hope, but they're not helpful to Jackie today. Today, she's really, really sad. And there are times like that on the long walk. There are times in our lives when the long walk is long and hard and sad. The shadows are so deep, we don't know. We're not sure that the sun is shining around the bend. We hope it is. But this is where we need to remember something very important about the hope that we have in Christ. Yes, in Jesus, God redeems the world. Our sins are forgiven. With His victory on the cross and resurrection, our hope of eternity spent with God is guaranteed. We can hold on to that. We can count on that. But there is more. The resurrected Jesus departed bodily, but left behind the Holy Spirit of God. In addition to forgiveness and new life and hope of eternal life, we are promised the Holy Spirit. That's God with us right now, today. Jesus speaks explicitly about this in John chapter 14. He calls the Holy Spirit the Advocate. But if there are different translations of that word, it could be translated helper or comforter. God the Comforter. In upcoming days, Jackie is going to meet God the Comforter. And God will stay by her as she walks every step of that long walk. I pray that she will have her moment where, like the Roman officials, she realizes, oh, Jesus told the truth. I pray for Jackie that as she steps out on the long walk, the Holy Spirit will help her feel God's presence. God was with Kevin right up to the end. I don't know why a lifelong weightlifter collapsed while lifting weights a month after he got married, a year after he started out as a senior pastor. I don't know why, and I'm not going to ask why. I can't. What I believe is that whatever is going on, God was with him, with Kevin, to that last moment, and God is with Jackie now, when hope seems so far away. And I pray that as she allows herself to be healed and join with God the Comforter, she will allow herself to feel hope, the hope of life with God. And I pray this for you too. Because I don't know what's going on in the lives of everybody here, but I know it's not all easy for everybody. One of our longtime members, Marion Charles, she's 87. She lost her son Roy last week. He was 65. He had a second heart surgery that didn't go well and died during the surgery. Now, Marion is many steps further along the long walk than Jackie. It's never easy to bury your child, and Marion knows sadness. But I saw her this week. I spent a little bit of time with her. I looked in Marion's eyes, and I knew this about her before this. She has seen God work. Over and over in her life, even when she's been in the valley, she has experienced the hope of God. And she's well along the way on that long walk toward that hope. Maybe you have as well. Maybe you've seen this hope that we know. You've experienced it. And when we, at Christmas time, with our decorations and our Advent candles and our Christmas tree, when we sing those hope-filled songs, you know exactly what you're singing about because you've lived it. You've seen it. Maybe you're where Jackie is. And with each step, you have to force yourself. Belief is a decision. With each painful step, you're just praying, God, please let this be real. God, please let all this be real. God, please let this be real. And maybe sometimes that's all we have. I promise you, you're not on the walk alone. God's church walks with you. God's Holy Comforter walks with you. Maybe you have other struggles, other things that are on your mind as you walk through life with God. The promise of hope is assured. God can be trusted. Make the decision to believe. And then walk into that belief. We all can, because the hope of the gospel is that God the Comforter has come and is with each one of us. The Holy Spirit walking the long walk with us. We do not walk alone, but with God every step of the way. Amen. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing. Heavenly Father, don't know what's going on with everyone here today, but I pray that in this gathering, hearing your word Pentecostally in different languages, feeling your spirit, worshiping together, I pray that each one of us would be touched by God this morning. I pray that if anyone here has a special need of God's touch, that that would be given. And I pray that we would all be filled with hope. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing and worship together?